But just on the inside cover, you'll find, or on the after the table of contents, you find a leaf from the 1611 King James Bible, a reproduction of that page, and I put it there because this year we're considering the Word of God. That's been our theme for the camp season. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. But it's been 400 years since that version of the Bible was printed, and that's a reproduction from that first, or one of the first editions. When I came up here to camp, you know, you want to walk around this place, if you haven't, to this building and in the library, but that room over there is a very interesting room. There's pictures in there of our first camp directors and then subsequent directors, and there's a picture of Sister Robinson in there, and Uncle Hans, and Waldfogel, and my grandfather Gottfried Waldfogel, and Brother Bob Collis, and there's all interesting artifacts. Some of them are priceless or valuable, so don't touch them, all right? I learned my lesson. One summer I used some of these vases. Do you say vases or vases? Vases, how many for vases, how many for vases? Well, you know what I mean. I used one of them for an object lesson, and after the meeting, I was reprimanded. Because I'm not supposed to touch them. If I were to drop them, they're very valuable, I understand. So don't. It's none of them up here, though. I wouldn't want you to be tempted, no. Yeah. But I found something as I was walking in that room. And what does that look like? It looks similar to what... this is the book of Revelation. First page from the book of Revelation. You have Genesis in yours, but... And then it's... This might be valuable. I don't believe it's from 1611, but it's a nice reproduction of that. And you ought to try reading. It's a little different. It's English, right? But it's a little different than what we're... You have to kind of figure out the words. So I'm going to leave this out. I'm going to leave it right here.
Is it heavy?
No. What, you want to take it? I'm going to check suitcases before you leave. No. All right. The Word of God speaks, right? It speaks to us. Let's be reminded of that when we come in. God is speaking to us through His Word. And then I found some other things, if you're really interested. There's a lot of books, and Brother Gordon Gardner was a great one for books, history books. And so, if you really want to study the history of the English Bible coming into existence, there's a two-volume set right here. And I said, wow, that's great. So I opened it up, and then I saw how small the print was. And I said, no, I don't think I have that much time. But they're here if you're interested in that. If you're a historian, make use of those books. And then I found something else. It's called Our Grand Old Bible. And this was a book that was printed for the 300th anniversary of the King James Bible. So when do you think this was printed? Very good, 100 years ago. These boys are so bright. I tell you, I'd like to meet their parents. This was published in 1911. So this is a little bigger print. So if you wanted to take the short version, I'd suggest this. But and this, I believe, it was published in 1880-something. Or 1880. All right, so they're here for you scholars. But how thankful we are that the Word of God has come to us in a language that we can read and understand. Now, I was so impressed with our friends that are here visiting us for the first time. They speak many languages. I shouldn't say many. But they speak German, and they speak English, and I'm sure they speak... How many dialects in Chinese do you speak?
Two.
See, that I'm still working on English. I speak Brooklynese at times, and I don't speak the King's English very well. And maybe some of you have found that out so far. Sometimes my nieces will tell me, do you know what you said tonight in church? No, tell me.
But at least they're listening. So I think they're listening anyway. Praise God. Now, where were we? Lesson number two. We've been studying the Word of God, and the first lesson we had was that the Word of God is good seed. And we're planting that good seed in these days. God is giving us His Word, and we want to have good hearts, receptive hearts, prepared hearts, cultivated hearts that are able to receive that good seed and produce fruit. And we're believing that for the campers as well, for all of us that are here. And today we want to look at this thought of inspiration. What sets apart this book above other books? Aren't there other good religious books in this world? I remember talking to a Hindu man that I was working with, and he had all those scriptures. They have holy scriptures also, and they study that, and they memorize it. And there are other, I thought of, who was that man who claimed to have a vision? Smith, was he, is he from the Latter-day Saints, John Smith or something? He had a vision, Pennsylvania, I think, or something. And he got a book, you know. He said, this is a book from God. And, Brother Tom, no?
No, I didn't write any books.
You didn't write any books? But there's something that is unique about this book. No other book is like it. Even these books about the Bible are not like it. I can open this book and it won't feed my soul necessarily. It might put me to sleep. But there's not real life there. And so let's see what this thought of inspiration is all about. In 2 Peter, is that where we are? 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. Now, again, because we have many different translations, maybe we ought to start on this side this morning, and we'll start in the back. We usually start in the front, but Tim, if you would start us. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Did I lead you the wrong place?
It says First Peter here.
Up
in the right-hand corner.
No, in the right-hand corner it says Second Peter.
Yeah. So I'll always remind you of these things, even though you know that I'm firmly established. Emily?
I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. Knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure you will always be able to remember these things.
You did not cleverly invent stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty.
When He received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice from the majestic glory of God said to Him, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy."
We ourselves heard this very voice, born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain.
And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts.
Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation.
For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
So what does that tell us about the Bible? I asked my wife to read it to me last night in the Living, New Living translation, so I could understand it. But it had that thought in there that it's not the prophet's own understanding or human initiative. It's something that didn't originate with them, so to speak. But God gave them what to say. God gave them not only the thoughts, but the very words. If you read that little box at the bottom that talks about inspiration, it's not just that, you know, there was, you know, a general idea. This is what you can talk about this a little bit. No, he came to them in such a way by his Spirit that they spoke, as it were, the very words of God. Now, let me ask you this. The Bible contains the words of God, right? But there's some things in here that are also the words of men. And I think even Satan is quoted in the Bible, or he speaks, right? So you can't say that everything in the Bible is the words of God. But it's the Word of God in the sense that it's God's message for us. Exactly what He felt we needed to hear and to know. His message to mankind was contained in this book. And so He gave it. How, you know, as a child in Sunday school, we were given those facts. How many authors of the Bible? How many people wrote the Bible? See, I haven't been in Sunday school for a long time, so I don't know I have the answer. Maybe 40 different writers. And then, over what period of time was it written? I think that's 1,600 years, over 1,000 years to bring this book together from beginning to end. It covered that time period. But in the end, it has one author. And that's God. The Holy Spirit. It says here that prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spake from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's what makes this book so unique. It says in some of these verses that we read, it's like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day star dawned. Until Jesus came, those words of the Old Testament prophets were like a light, pointing, shining. But now in these last days we read Jesus, or God has spoken to us in and by His Son. And so we have that revelation of God in the Old Testament, but we also have the story of Jesus in the New, and the letters and these things that Peter wrote. Do you think Peter knew when he said, I want to always put you in remembrance? How is it that what he wrote thousands of years ago can speak to us today? How is that? And it comes to us just in that same power. You know, some people say, oh, the Bible's outdated. It doesn't speak to me. It doesn't speak to our times. Well, if we would come with a humble heart and say, Lord, what is it saying to me? Doubtless God will speak to us. And that's what makes this book so unique. God is in this book. And He's speaking to you and to me if we'll only listen. Let's also look now at 1 Peter. First Peter 1. Now as we read, I want you to tell me, what does this tell us about God's Word, all right? About it being inspired by God. Verse 10, whose turn is it to read? 10. Okay, Grace?
What the salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing, when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glory that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have not been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit that sent them, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels along to look into those things.
Amen. What does it say here about inspiration? Who was speaking in the prophets? Through the prophets. The Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ. That caught my attention. The Spirit of Christ was speaking in the Old Testament through the prophets. When Isaiah wrote Isaiah 53, the Spirit of Christ was speaking through him, speaking about the sufferings of Christ. When David, in the Psalms, Psalm 22, spoke about Christ. It wasn't their own understanding. How could David know? How could David know about the crucifixion? You read that psalm and you just see how it, almost every verse can be applied to Christ on the cross. How did he know? That wasn't through his own experience. That wasn't through his own understanding. It was the Spirit of Christ speaking through him, giving him the words to write. We have a treasure, beloved, in this book. No other book like it. Let's also look down at 2 Timothy 3. Here Paul is giving instruction to his son in the faith, his son in the gospel, Timothy. So what does he say? Verse 14. Is that you, John?
But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness,
so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Amen. Can you guys relate to those verses that you read? Who taught you about the Bible? John?
My parents.
Your parents? Can you trust them?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
And he reminded Timothy, I believe it's in the second chapter, he reminds him, you know, there was this genuine faith in your mother and grandmother, and they passed that on to you. They taught you in the Scriptures from a baby, from infancy. Could you say that?
Yeah.
You've known the Holy Scriptures. Now continue in them. Continue in them. I think that means we need to continue to read them, continue to apply them to our lives. Because here it tells us, again, that all Scripture is God-breathed. It's given by inspiration of God. And we believe that the Bible, the entire Bible, in the form that we have it today, those 66 books, are what God intended for us to hear and to have. All Scripture. You know, some scholars say, well, this book shouldn't be in there, and this one, we doubt this, you know, the validity of this book, and we should just take it as God's Word and apply it. He has preserved it for us. You know, when you read about the history of the Bible, and you see how the enemy opposed, tried to stamp it out, and yet it has remained because God's word endures forever. But here, what are the four things that it's good for, useful for, profitable for? What's the first one? Verse 16. I heard something. I heard doctrine. I heard teaching. Okay, so the first thing, it teaches us the truth. Is that a good definition of doctrine? Doctrine, it teaches us the truth. It is the truth. The second thing, this is all what we like, right? We like this next word. What is it? You don't know? Rebuke and what is that? Well, that's when someone tells you did something wrong. Oh, you're wrong. Oh, really? Not me. I'm never wrong. And sometimes we have that attitude. And yet God's word is given to what? To tell us, hey, you're wrong. It rebukes us. It shows us our what? Error. It shows us what's wrong with us. Do we need that? Yes, we do. We might not like it, but we need it. And if we take it, if we take that reproof, we'll be the better for it. And then the third thing. What does it say? Not only does it tell us when we're wrong, but it also then shows us how to change that, how to correct that. This is the way you need to do it. This is the way you need to live. You know, as a parent, my job is not only to tell my children when they're wrong or what they're doing wrong, but it's my duty before God, my responsibility to show them the right way, to correct what may be wrong. And to say, no, you should do it this way. And show them patiently. And God's word is like that. It corrects us. Not only does it say, you know, you've done this, you've messed up, but, okay, here's how we fix it. This is what we do right. And then the last thing, it says, training in righteousness, instruction in righteousness. Now, how... You know, when I think of training, I think of doing something. I don't know if we can train. Maybe we can train our minds, maybe, by not, you know, by sitting. But in training, you usually have to do something, right? Got to get out there and run. Who wants to train with me? Honey? I need to exercise, you know? I tell my son, you know, you're not going to learn to play baseball unless we get out there and you swing the bat. I can tell you how to swing the bat. I can tell you about all the home runs I hit. But that's not me. That wasn't me. That was Brother John and Brother Tom. I remember Brother Tom, because I was playing by your house the other day, and I hit the roof. A real softball. I thought if Uncle Tom was here, he would hit it over the roof. No problem. Brother John, too. He was maybe he still is a good ball player. I don't know. Does your father still play ball?
A little.
Yeah, okay. He was really good, all right? So believe the stories he told you. Most of them. But we get out there and we put into practice the things that we've learned. We train, and that's how we get better. Now, how do we do that with God's Word? And I was thinking about it. How does God's Word train me in righteousness? And I think it has to do with obedience.
I think obedience is part of that training, because I read things in God's Word, and I can say, yes, that's the right way to do it, but unless I obey it, I'm not really being trained. Another place the Apostle Paul says, exercise thyself unto what? Godliness. Godly living. And so I think we need to take God's Word, allow it to speak to us, but then we need to obey it. And if we would follow the instructions given in God's Word in our daily lives, then I believe we would become, as it were, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, that's the end result. God's Word received into our hearts ought to produce a change in our lives and make us ready to serve Him. Every good work. It's not so much about works. You know, we've heard about grace versus work. It's not about works, but it's about doing what He wants us to do. We've sung that over and over again. Only to be what You want me to be. And so He has prepared good works for us to do. And He's given us the equipment that we need. All Scripture. Now this is a verse you ought to commit to memory. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that the woman of God may be thoroughly furnished, equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, give us Your Word. Help us to know it's right from You, right from Your heart. This message, the message of the Bible, the whole message of the Bible, is what God intended for you to hear, to have, and to take. And so, what do we mean by inspiration? Let's see, were we able to take it? What does it mean when we say the Bible is the inspired Word of God? That's a question. And please, someone answer it off.
It has been said that it could be stated that it was breathed by God.
God breathed it, right from His heart to ours. Someone else.
Well, it's like His message to us, and though it's not necessarily like direct words, it's what He inspired people to write, His message.
Okay. Good. Someone else.
Actually, Paul, some believe that he coined that word, that phrase, God breathed, that they don't find it anywhere else until Paul introduced it here, where it was a divine work that was not only inspiring man, but, as was already mentioned, every word specifically spoken by God for man, for us. Never happened before, hasn't happened since, which is why Paul comes up with this word that nobody spoke before, knew before, used before, because it never happened before, and reveals to us the uniqueness of this Word of God.
Just as we close this morning, I had something for you to put into your Bibles and maybe keep there. And I've given these out before, if you've been at camp with me. And if you've been in Ridgewood Church, you've probably seen the bookmark before. When I was a camper, I believe Brother Carl Saylor had made that up. The quote by Martin Luther. He didn't make up the quote, but he made up the bookmark. But just let's read together what it says on the back. You also have this in your book, that little quote from Sister Robinson on the Bible. Julia, would you get me her picture? Yes, yes. I was hoping you knew. That's Sister Robinson, and she, maybe sometime we'll talk a little bit more about her. But she was very influential in the teachings that we hold dear from the Bible. I know you've seen her before, maybe. And I'd encourage you to read her book. What's the book that's been written about her? Anybody know? Radiant Glory, right. And who wrote Radiant Glory? Don't say God, because he didn't. Who wrote Radiant Glory?
Brother Gardner.
Brother Gardner, yes, a dear friend of Brother Tom's. Yes, I would encourage you all to read it. A wonderful vessel of God. And the founder of our fellowship, the Ridgewood Fellowship, was greatly influenced by her teaching and light. That was Hans Waldfogel. Sat under her ministry for a time, blessed by her life. And so this is something she wrote about the Bible. So let's read it together. The Bible. Together. The one book. The only book. The great book. God's book. Your book for eternity. The book you must have. The book you badly need. Oh, if you miss this book, you miss everything. If you keep out of this book, you keep out of the life of God. If you fail to read it, if you fail to devour it, if you fail to understand it, you fail in everything that is worth having. God is in this book. It is the book of all books. It is the necessity of every soul. Get into this book. Pray over it. Get it into your mind. Live it. Obey it. And it will deliver you from the world, the flesh, and the devil. It will be your passport into glory. Hallelujah. And so we have a wonderful treasure. This gift of God. His Word. And so let's just bow our hearts and just thank Him again this morning. Lord, we're so thankful that your word is profitable to me. I need the Bible. I need to know the truth. I need to be corrected, rebuked. I need that instruction, that training in righteousness. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word. And put a greater love in our hearts for the Bible. Oh, how I love thy law. And may it be a light that shines into our hearts. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. We're so thankful, Lord, that you have spoken. And now, Lord, give us ears to hear what you are saying to your church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.